Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 451. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamito. What is going on, sir?
Not a heck of a lot here, Kevin, as I did not spend my weekend in New Orleans, Louisiana, so I am not as as tired and behind, I'm sure, as you are in life.
Things could have turned out worse, despite getting back in a much later hour. It really helps to, pretty much, run your own business. it kind of has its perks. So if you need an extra couple of 4 hours off, it is granted quite easily. So I got caught up by taking a little extra time off. So I'm good to go. It was a little bit tough. We decided to enjoy New Orleans on Monday, so I did not watch Raw. We were trying to get out of Louisiana before SmackDown aired. But due to the plane, I did figure that I could have attended SmackDown live and then left the arena and gotten to the airport in plenty of time to catch my plane.
Oh, jeez.
With the way things turned out, I could have done that. It was not under consideration ever, but I could have pulled it off.
Well, at least your flight home wasn't delayed for 2 days like mine when I was stuck in California last fall.
Funny thing, there was a guy who definitely went to WrestleMania because he was watching videos on his phone on the way home. Yeah. And he was caught in the airport for a day because they canceled the Spirit Airlines that we took. They canceled the one flight they had out of that airport back to Columbus on Monday. So the guy had to leave on Tuesday night, and it ended up being delayed until 10 o'clock at night. So he was not pleased, to say the least.
Bad Spirit Airlines.
They'll
get you home eventually.
I think I have learned my lesson, in that department. I am going to pay a little bit more in airfare next time around to, avoid this problem.
Yep, that's what I'm doing next time I fly. But you are caught up on all of your wrestling viewing.
Finally caught up on all the wrestling viewing. Cause I did, I did see a couple of things, and I did see more news, honestly, than I did, of actual viewing. So I was, generally aware that, one Brock Lesnar was said to not be happy backstage after, WrestleMania and had a short spat with Vince McMahon. But then honestly, that news came. And on Monday also came the news that Brock Lesnar re-signed with the WWE. So,
for a short-term deal. How short?
Yeah, I guess that's one of those things. It's... I guess on the other show there that Jeremy and I did, the only thing that we could surmise... Because I can't remember if we knew about that altercation just because we did record Monday afternoon. The WWE didn't do themselves any favors with that match. They really could have gotten a better crowd reaction out of it had they played things differently. But is that something you really blow up that much about?
Still not been said exactly what caused Brock Lesnar to blow up at Vince McMahon and, throw the belt against the wall and Shane McMahon jump in front of his father, and Dumb and Fearless is,
Vince, I may think he's a little bit reckless for, taking a bump at his age, but if he really did have someone like Brock Lesnar, assault him in any means, it would be a real problem for his physical well-being. So, yeah, it's stupid for Shane to jump in front, but, you're talking some pretty serious complications if a 75-year-old man gets hit by a world-class UFC fighter.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I suppose that, at that point, we're still not exactly sure what went down, why Brock went over in the end, at the end of WrestleMania. Then, later Monday afternoon, we get the news. The news comes out. Brock has re-signed. He's facing Roman Reigns inside of a steel cage for the Universal Championship at the Greatest Royal Rumble show in Saudi Arabia. And, more information comes out about Brock signing a short-term deal, which literally could only mean
one date. Yeah.
Obviously, they had a reason for doing everything that they're doing, whether it's they feel that Roman Reigns will get a better reaction in Saudi Arabia, whether they have promised the government of Saudi Arabia, who is financing this show, to must be into the millions, that they get some really special action, possibly a title change. Because you got to imagine, if Brock Lesnar had no wrestling dates on his contract after Sunday, and they convinced him to do at least one more match in Saudi Arabia, they are paying through the fucking nose for that.
Brock, I would have to say, is somewhat famous for not enjoying travel. Saudi Arabia is about as far away from here as you're going to get, as far as getting there logistically. So I'm sure that would not please one Mr. Lesnar. And if that is his only date, it's going to come at a premium. And I can't blame him, because that's I guess I didn't even check in to see how long a flight there would be. But I'm assuming in the, 20-hour department.
And Brock lives in the middle of nowhere in Saskatchewan. I'm sure he could easily end up taking a flight from somewhere in Minnesota, possibly, but... Yeah.
It does help that Minneapolis is an international
hub. Right. So, I don't know. This has been a... what was considered by everyone, in particular one Mr. Jeremy Mays, to be a foregone conclusion at the end of WrestleMania, has now turned into this certainly a controversial week, and with a lot of speculation about the future of pretty much everyone involved. This is obviously, they are committed to making this Greatest Royal Rumble show something big. Obviously, they're getting a lot of money for this. Essentially creating WrestleMania Part 2.
It's really, I would have to say, since it's called the Greatest Royal Rumble Ever or whatever. Because it's great, it's just Greatest Royal Rumble, right?
Yeah, Greatest Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I mean, which is not bad. Again, that is definitely the number 2 event in the WWE calendar. And they're trying to make the greatest of that.
I'm not holding against them, other than maybe about the part about doing the show and during the middle of their women's revolution, where they can't have any women on the show. But money talks, of course.
Yes, it does. It talks very loudly. And the flight one stop to Riyadh would seem to be the quickest, 17 hours and 35 minutes from the fine city of Columbus, Ohio. I can confirm it's I feel like it's something in the 2 hour range to get to Minnesota, to get to Minneapolis from here. So I'm guessing a minimum of a 20-hour flight for Brock Lesnar to be going out of his convenience to get to this show.
Oh, there's going to be an international incident. It's just going to be calling Donald up to get Brock out of a Saudi Arabian prison.
So, yeah, this it could be interesting.
Yeah, this whole thing is very, very interesting. They are making some very, very intriguing matches for this show. And one, in fact, that changed over the course of the last 24 hours, as Undertaker versus Rusev in a casket match has now been changed to Undertaker versus Chris Jericho in a casket match.
You know, that kind of has a couple of things that I wouldn't mind talking about.
Yes, it does.
You know, a couple of things. I really thought that for the first time since Rusev has been doing the Rusev Day thing, that tonight was the first night he acted like a babyface within his match. And really tried to get the crowd behind him, which it was already.
Right.
Which leads me to, of all the craziest things to say, if you want to establish Jinder Mahal is a legit, at least second-tier heel, he needs another feud or two with Randy Orton to kind of, you know, make his U.S. Title run something, especially if you want Rusev to win that eventually. Like, I guess if you actually turn him legit babyface, I wouldn't be upset if they waited a while to pull the trigger on some type of a title run for him.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that, but right now, there maybe should be some concern that Rusev is in the WWE doghouse. Rusev had put out a tweet after the match was announced about something about "Bury Me Dead Man," and then him and Lana did an interview with TMZ Sports where he apparently repeatedly called the Undertaker old and past his prime, which may have gotten him out of this match.
Oh, right.
There's possibilities here. There's definitely things to find out about, you know, exactly why this all went down. Although the Undertaker and Chris Jericho is not a match that was ever overdone in WWE. They may have had a couple of one-on-one matches and some then interactions and tag matches or things of the like. So it's a big match to do, you know, overseas, and, you know, obviously Jericho knows what to do here, knows how to make Undertaker look good, and, you know, and Undertaker, there's another one, you know, that guy, you know, having to fly a 20-some-hour flight, you know,
right,
on his body.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, yeah, I mean, they must be making it worth his while.
Yeah. I
don't think any of the guys mentioned Brock, Chris Jericho, even. I mean, he can kind of come and go as he wants. Like, I mean, if he doesn't like the payday, he doesn't need to say yes. Like, you give him, nah, that's good.
Right? No. This is other than the lack of women, this is a WrestleMania caliber payroll on this show.
Yeah.
In addition to all the added production expenses from flying overseas and putting this live on the WWE Network at a ridiculous hour.
Well, it's actually not a ridiculous hour. I believe Jeremy, because I asked Jeremy about that, I think we ended up seeing that it's going to start at noon.
Yeah. Well, that's a ridiculous Howard.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess since most people will be, I would assume, working.
Yeah, I mean, I have no plans to watch this live. I will watch it on demand at some point. This is essentially going to have all the bells. I assume this is going to have all the bells and whistles of a regular WWE pay per view, maybe even major pay per view. So
it would seem like
it. I don't know how the Saudi government expects to be getting all their money back for this, but apparently this is about prestige and attracting other big name acts to come to their country and play their many stadiums.
Oh, right. So, did we get Rusev covered thoroughly enough then?
I think we got Rusev.
Okay, and, who else? Jericho and Taker. In some ways, too, I guess, even if Rusev could be in their doghouse, but I really don't think that it's a bad thing that he got out of this match.
Yeah, no, it wasn't going to be a win. But then again, Rusev already lost twice in 1 week to the lesser stars than The Undertaker, so.
Oh. This is true.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess why not, but.
Perspective.
Yeah. I mean, it's. Unfortunately, it seems like Rusev Day might be another one of those things they are begrudgingly pushing for some reason that it wasn't supposed to be as big as it's gotten and out, and they're actually not supporting it, and if not out and out trying to kill it off. It's one of those silly WWE things. It's like, just run with it. Just turn the guy face and run with it.
That's why I kind of noted him acting that way, because that really was the first time I kind of noticed that, and it'll be something that we'll see if they keep on kind of going that direction with him, and I think it'd be really easy, because I mean, it wasn't like this was a WrestleMania crowd thing that was doing it. They were probably more pro Rusev than most crowds, I would say. But I mean, I can even say again, like when we went to Fastlane here in Columbus, like everyone was, I mean, he was one of the biggest attractions.
Yeah.
So if you want to talk about that, in Middle America bullshit. Since they still hit giant urban areas, because that's where you're going to find a bunch of fans in one spot. So I mean, Rusev's been popular for a while with the live crowds, and not just, the supposed crazy WrestleMania crowds.
Yeah. Rusev gets great reactions. From every town, from everywhere, it's not just a fad. It's not just a smart mark thing. It's a simple, easy, fun thing that really caught on. And WWE, if WWE starts to de-push him and feature him less on TV, even less on TV, it'll be a huge mistake and a big loss. I don't know. To spite yourself in the face to that degree merchandise-wise. I don't get it.
Okay. Well, then he has definitely done so now. I guess another big... because there weren't that many big things, but one big thing I would have to say would be the WWE and terrible names here. That I have seen the last couple of days. It started with the War Raiders. and then went to the SmackDown duo now called the Iconics.
With two eyes. but you only pronounce one. Well, they must have thought that. Well, first they must have thought that the iconic duo might have already been trademarked somewhere else. Then you get into the Iconics with one eye, and maybe that's already been taken. I mean, they've done a lot of work with this whole iconic thing, which, you know, which they stole off of from pop culture and the Kardashians or what. And it's good that that Billy Kay and Peyton Royce are at least getting to keep that part of the character going, where they call themselves iconic and tell their opponents they are not iconic, like my Australian there.
Yeah, excellent Australian. Better than mine. Aussie. Okay, anyway. I mean, they do have the same gimmick that they had previously. I guess it does help to make them different that it is just a duo. And they certainly have a different look and feel than the Riot Squad, who was recently called up.
They are definitely very, very different than the Riot Squad in that they look like they should be best friends. They look like they should be hanging out, if not more. They've got a great act that, you know, down pat. You know, whatever they call them, as long as the basic, you know, core of the act is not removed, I think they're going to do all right. They definitely made an impact in their first night. You know, their talking was pretty much on point. Their beatdown of Charlotte was good, but it dragged too long, I think.
Oh. Yeah, at some point I'm like, oh my god. But I guess I'm not surprised, just because it's the kind of those two shows after WrestleMania tend to have things like that happen, I guess, more than other shows.
It was also a little sloppy in parts because Charlotte is a, you know, very long, very lean, very, you know, you know, gymnast body and, you know, tall and.
Oh.
Even both of them, when Charlotte was, you know, acting like she was, you know, out of it and deadweighting herself, oh boy, did Billy and Peyton have a hard time trying to pick her up. That powerbomb was pretty rough. And I tried to get her back in the ring.
Yeah, when they were taking her back into the ring, I'm just like, oh my gosh. Like, I was about in tears. Because, that was the one thing that I do think that they need to change about them on main WWE TV. They were always, when it ended up coming to the wrestling for the most part, they were so terrible. Not technique-wise, but they presented them as so beatable all the time on NXT that it was hard to take them seriously, and they definitely need, you know, more offense on the WWE roster if they're going to have a little more staying power than what they showed in NXT.
Yeah, they do. They absolutely do. Although, I think that they had let in the last 6 months or so to a year, 6 months or so, they'd really established that Peyton Royce was the worker of the group, and she got more opportunities, in singles competition.
Yeah.
But the overall act works with the two of them, so I could see Peyton being more in the ring, especially since I don't foresee them adding a women's tag team division. Then you have to do it for both shows. That just spreading things too thin.
Right.
Everything you said aside, overall, a good, impactful debut that, of course, did end up meaning something, because immediately afterward, Carmella ran into the briefcase, attempted to cash in her briefcase multiple times, but the referee...
That Mike Chioda just really, because he seemed to be having some problems, and because I think he reffed the next match with AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan. I don't know. Mike Chioda seemed to be having a rough night, in my opinion. I'm not sure if he had one too many beverages after WrestleMania and then after Raw, but I would have to say he was having an off night. Because, yeah, Carmella screamed, like, it was like he almost didn't hear her at all. Like, it was so weird.
What did he think she was doing out there? I mean, it went beyond, you know, was trying to stretch this out for drama. It was just like, he literally froze. He literally was, like, almost legitimately arguing with her. It's just like, you know, there's plenty of memes out on the internet, right? On social media right now about, you know, what they were saying to each other. They're pretty funny.
Oh, okay. I'll have to look into those. That is the one thing. I, when you do the almost live like I normally do, you can usually catch up on that stuff. When you watch it a couple of days later than it aired, you kind of lose some of that material. But yeah, I guess I can only imagine what that was.
Yeah,
now
it was definitely a very awkward exchange. Finally, after what felt like forever, Chioda took the briefcase, made the match, and Carmella just hit one kick and pinning Charlotte, and she is the SmackDown Women's Champion. Two nights after Charlotte ended Asuka's streak, which some people found very, very maddening, which, although I am not one of those people because I do not
see
things in terms of, oh my goodness, so-and-so was buried, so-and-so, oh, what are they thinking? Like, obviously, they this has been the plan.
Oh.
Probably for some time.
Well, yeah, I guess I don't know why you'd be surprised by that in a lot of ways. Just because I felt like both Jeremy and I had talked about possibly it happening at WrestleMania.
Yeah, and I'm glad it didn't happen at WrestleMania, because it would have been a great match. So, this way, very well done. I don't necessarily see Carmella being a long-term champion. In fact, I guarantee you she won't be. I don't think she'll make it more than a couple of months, which would put, because I'm pretty sure Asuka's coming over.
That's one of the things, and I know that I can't compare it yet, because Asuka was not on Raw at all, but, you know, they have completely changed Shinsuke Nakamura's act, and I about fell over laughing when he said he did not speak English and walked away from Renee. I guess my hope is that Asuka kind of gains more character from this loss. And
that is true. Yes, I think that adversity, as they say, adversity introduces one to themselves. So hopefully that they can use this, and they can, you know, it'd be interesting if Asuka beats Carmella for the title instead of Charlotte, and then Charlotte in the challenger's role, but against the woman she's beaten before, the only woman who's ever beaten Asuka. You can stretch that to SummerSlam without a doubt.
So I mean, I think that, though I guess I was surprised that the streak did not go through, I wasn't that upset, about it. And I guess I'm not upset about Carmella cashing in the day later, because, much like yourself, I much would have preferred it on SmackDown than at WrestleMania itself. This also, as you noted, or as we both noted, it set up another duo to introduce into the women's division, and who also I'm assuming will probably cost Charlotte in subsequent rematches with Carmella, so that she does hold on to the belt at least for your aforementioned 2 to 3 months.
Yeah, they definitely have some good stories going for the SmackDown women. Once again, of course, everything's up in the air until after we see who lands where next. Sorry.
That's
Sorry,
okay.
To jump in there. But yeah, we'll see who lands where. But I think Asuka to SmackDown's it's a safer bet as anything.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah, there's still a lot to, well, like you said, the shakeup is something that, I got a kick. It could be my favorite thing that I saw on WWE TV this week, was Jonathan Coachman, requesting what rules were going to be used for the shakeup, and Michael Cole artfully dodging his question. It kind of cracked me up, since the shakeup really has taken on many different disguises over the years, in the many incarnations of the brand splits. And I don't even think since this, because this is going to be the third, is this going to be the third shakeup, or just second?
It's the second shakeup.
Okay.
Because at first, because they haven't done a draft. It's not a draft.
Right.
It's a shakeup. Supposedly, Kurt Angle and Paige will now be negotiating trades. And then the superstars will have to abide by those, and no one has a choice in what show they go to. It's a...
Well, yeah,
they
that's...
Don't, they don't... last year, they didn't really explain the whole process of how decisions were made, or who went where, so... I don't expect that this year. It'll just be whatever they feel like is going to shake things up.
Yeah, what's going to give them the best storylines? they're going to shake it up and throw it out. yeah. So I mean, I guess it's kind of hard to speculate, because half the time I do feel like there's a couple of surprises thrown in there. That maybe you wouldn't expect, moving brands, because I do always feel like they swap the mid-card champion, because they're like, oh, we need to swap a champion here. It's like, okay, US and IC title, you're swapping brands, guys.
Again.
Like, it doesn't matter who's in those roles. You're swapping, like, whether it's a draft or a shakeup. It's like, yep, sorry. Guess what, guys?
That'd just be so dumb. Whatever. I guess it does. But like, maybe they switch something else this time. Maybe switch the tag team championships. But there is no tag team champions on Raw. That's right. So you can't do that.
Right.
And they're not going to move Styles. I hope they're not going to move Styles and Nakamura away from each other at this point. So
yeah,
I guess
they're
not going to do the.
I think Jeremy mentioned it too. For some reason, I feel like Daniel Bryan always seemed to be more of a SmackDown guy.
Well, that's because he's been the general manager of Raw SmackDown for the last 2 years, but.
But I do feel like...
I could see him moving. I really think I could see him moving. Because he could... Granted, there are some good to great matches for him on SmackDown, but he can have good to great matches about anyone on Raw, too. So, I could see Daniel Bryan going. Braun Strowman's an interesting one. I think that he could certainly move. Yeah, Strowman can certainly move, because he seems like he wrapped up his storyline. He's got nothing else to go. They never gave him the Universal Championship. And it doesn't look like they're going to.
Yeah, I mean, he is certainly a big name. I agree with you that could move. Because he's kind of beaten everyone that's kind of a big guy on Raw. And it's, I would think at some point they're going to not have any more physical feats, for him to do. So he's going to have to do it, chase at least something. So yeah, I could see him, moving over for sure-sies.
Yeah, I could see it. The other one, it's another one to SmackDown. I definitely see Jeff Hardy. I think that they kind of blew off, you know, him and his brother to, you know, they're supportive of each other. You know, Jeff's supportive of Matt, match craziness with Bray Wyatt, but, he's still going to be classic Jeff. He's still going to be classic Jeff Hardy.
And, you know, that was one thing that I did think to myself, since I didn't actually do a column, I didn't write it down. I really do not mind that. Classic Jeff Hardy was the top babyface, and if he wasn't the top babyface in the company when he left because of issues unrelated to his, in-ring work. If he wasn't number one, he was the number two baby face in the company at the time.
Yeah, he was the first guy in probably 5 years or so or something when he was at his hottest to beat John Cena in merchandise. Yeah, so, yeah, no, he was absolutely the top baby face when he left some time ago. And, you know, as our good friend over at the East Coast Cast, South Congress, Cameron Hawkins, said on Twitter this week, Jeff Hardy's greatest ability is still looking like Jeff Hardy from 20 years ago. He does, and he can still do his work. He still does his moves. Jeff Hardy could be a main event guy on SmackDown, without a doubt.
And I guess that's why I don't have a... I have no problem with him not being Brother Nero.
Yeah,
that was one of the other, to me, funnier moments of WWE TV this week, with him kind of going along with the whole thing, but then Balor and Rollins are looking at him. A, they had great looks on their faces. B, he's just like, no, nah, I don't have any idea either, man. Like, I am completely lost. And just kind of blowing it off. Which, you know, it does. It lets him still be the singles Jeff Hardy if they want to have that run. I mean, I think he still has that ability, and that people love nostalgia, and I definitely could see one more run for him as a champion, honestly, a singles champion.
Absolutely. I could do it, which is why I could think of, you know, maybe Daniel Bryan going over to Raw, because then they'd be kind of bumping into each other on the same show. But SmackDown, of course, they need to balance Billy's rosters back out after what they did to SmackDown last year. So, you know, the more stars, the better on SmackDown. Raw, you don't have without taking away from Raw at the same time. Obviously, Raw has that extra hour of time to fill, so Raw does need more people.
Oh, right.
But what they did last year was definitely did SmackDown a disservice.
Considering that, if for all intents and purposes, they didn't recover until about a month or so before WrestleMania.
SmackDown definitely had a lot of good stuff heading into WrestleMania, and you know, they were back on point again, and then hopefully we've got a rejuvenation. We can have a rejuvenation of SmackDown here, especially with the infusion of some new names. As far as talent that could go from SmackDown to Raw, wouldn't surprise me if Randy Orton went over, although they've already made a match for Randy Orton and Jinder Mahal at Backlash. But, I mean, granted, they did some of that stuff last year, too. They made matches, and then...
Oh, then they abandoned
the result of the shakeup wouldn't go into effect until afterward. And, you know. So there's ways around that too. But I'm trying to SmackDown though shouldn't lose too many key people though. Just enough so that it helps Raw, but doesn't.
Or like you said. Well, yeah, kind of have more of an even trade at a minimum.
Yeah.
Or at least, and I agree with you too, the because of the extra hour, you kind of, you know, maybe you'll have a 2-for-1 trade every now and again here, but, you know, you can't go too lopsided, at least within the star department.
Right.
And it did kind of crack me up that Raw got all of the debuting NXT people, but it did make me wonder if even some of them might have just made their debut on Raw because it's Raw and it's the flagship show. And they might get moved in the draft because they certainly... SmackDown got one set of people from NXT, the Iconics, but Raw got AOP, Ember Moon, and I'm trying to think of...
No Way Jose.
Oh, No Way Jose.
Yeah, that was a big one. That was a game changer right there, let me tell you.
Yeah.
But, I mean, No Way Jose on any show, he's just Adam Rose take two, basically. Without a bunny.
Yeah, well, yeah, no bunny. And I would have to say, at least in the size department, he is more physically imposing than one Adam Rose was. So I do think that will help him, at least in the long run. I still think it's odd when there are so many punches thrown in the WWE when they use a single punch as a finisher. With the exception of the Big Show, he's the Big Show. He's allowed to.
Yeah.
he is huge. But, you know, when there are also a gentleman like Braun Strowman who throw punches and don't knock people out, yeah. Someone like No Way Jose should not be using that as a finisher.
No, I haven't liked it since he started using it. I am not a big fan of the whole No Way Jose gimmick. It's just it's just low-card comedy stuff, which has its place in the low-card, but... I guess it's harmless.
Yeah, like he's one of the
Santino, then so what?
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like he kind of has a bit of a ceiling to him. Unless they change something about that gimmick, he has a ceiling, and it could keep him like you said with Santino, it can keep you a job for a long time, but that's all you're doing. Year after year, and you've just got to figure out how to change that jokester persona, you know, every now and again, so that people aren't bored with you.
Right, but certainly less of a ceiling will go to the authors of Pain, who are, you know, everything that Vince McMahon likes. They're huge. They're powerful. They're imposing. Without Paul Ellering, a little concerned about the promo side of things, but obviously they are not. So, managerless authors of Pain will be wreaking some havoc in the tag team division. I don't think there's anything that's really gonna even without Ellering or a mouthpiece. They're a pretty easy act to book. Just have them destroy everything in their path.
I mean, the Bludgeon Brothers have not really spoken much, and they are the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, over arguably the two greatest teams within the last decade in the WWE.
So, Authors of Pain will certainly have a pretty good run. And as far as tag teams can get in WWE, I think that the Authors of Pain will do just fine. As will former NXT Women's Champion Ember Moon. She definitely got a big win. I was shocked to see Alexa Bliss take that pinfall. Especially when Mickie James was standing right on the ring apron, but obviously they wanted to make a big impression with that Ember Moon and her Eclipse finish.
Yeah, that is one of those things that is something to behold. I still think that that's still one of those finishes that depends to me way too much on the person taking it. Being in a perfect position.
Yeah, it looks beautiful. I mean, it's a killer finish that almost no one should be kicking out of.
Yeah, that's one of those ones that I know that Steve Austin and some other people bemoan the DDT, but when you do like a super stunner from the top ropes, that should really be the end of things.
Of course, the Raw Women's Division does have a Nia Jax problem now. now that this large woman is not only a champion but a babyface champion, getting that belt off of her at some point will be a stretch. Maybe you insert Ronda Rousey into that situation eventually. As far as believability of someone being able to defeat Nia Jax in the middle of the ring.
No, yeah, it's going to be pretty tough. Especially, you definitely introduced Ember Moon as a friend of Nia Jax, so...
Nia's 100% babyface at this point.
Yeah, and I mean, Ember was a babyface in NXT... she obviously is positioned to be a babyface, and to me, she's one of those people, or one of the women that at least physically matches up better with Nia Jax, if you're trying to have her lose the belt. I mean, clearly no one is, the same size woman as Nia, but... There are some women that are at least a little more physically matched up for her, and I would think that at some point Ember Moon could work a good match with her.
She could, and she's got that finish that could believably take down Nia Jax.
Yeah,
I mean, I would say I was pleasantly surprised by the quality of Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss for the most part, but you still. It can't be Alexa Bliss.
Without a whole lot of chicanery.
Yeah. Which as a babyface going against heels, she can lose to chicanery at some point. Yeah, that helps. But I guess it's more, because you can do a screwjob finish to take the title off of her. It's just the optics of it's always been a struggle, even with the men, the very large baby face and the smaller heel, to do a match that you traditionally would do with, you know, the heel on the advantage for the majority of the middle portion. And, you know, it creates issues. It always has, even with the men.
Oh yeah. So like you said, however this ends up shaking out, it's a tricky out.
It is tricky. It's definitely tricky.
So, you know, we'll see what happens with that going forward. But you know, I do think that they have set up a fairly nice feel good story for the time being. And it always seemed crazy to keep the belt off of Nia for as long as they have in a lot of ways. just because, again, because of her physical presence. You know, if she was really slow and lumbering and not able to keep up with some of the better workers, I could understand. I mean, she's still kind of on the short side of experience. But, you know, again, her kind of decided power advantage plays into that quite a bit in any of her matchups.
Yeah, it definitely does. It is definitely challenging when there is no one on the roster, you know, that close to her physically. You know, obviously, everyone believes, there's no woman that anyone could believe that Ronda Rousey couldn't beat, including Nia Jax, you know, with her technique and her fighting experience. Charlotte, obviously, is the tallest of the women. So, but other than that, it's a struggle to, you know, especially with her as with Nia as the baby face, when the heel is the one who's supposed to control the body of the match.
Oh yeah, yeah. So I don't know. We'll see if the WWE can address that during the shakeup. But yeah, it's kind of hard to address.
Yeah, it is. I guess that since we're on the subject of the Raw women, Bayley and Sasha having their big one-on-one match that many believe they should have had at WrestleMania on this coming Monday's Raw. And I'm wondering, well, the same subject of the shakeup, if they're not going to do a long drawn-out feud between the two, could they have a one-match blow-off and then one of them shuffles off to SmackDown?
It is certainly a possibility. They have kept both, you know, it's been a year. I would have to say that Becky Lynch hasn't really been in the title picture over on the SmackDown side of things recently. And they certainly seem very high on Naomi, who won the women's Battle Royal and also won you know, her match against Natalya this week. So there are certainly plenty of people to keep over there. I could see a Becky Lynch for Bayley or a Sasha swap in the works that would help help both sides out.
I think it would too. Yes, I do agree.
So yeah, I mean, I could see a short feud for these two. That you know, that ends somewhat abruptly. And again, I think it opens doors for everyone. You know, whoever gets moved, and even whoever stays, kind of has a little bit more of a clear path, because if they want to keep Sasha as something more as a baby face, she kind of needs to get away from Bayley to not make her more of a heel.
Right. I agree, but right now, other than Alexa Bliss and Mickie James, who are the heels on the Raw women's side?
Yeah, I don't know, because...
Oh, okay, Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville, okay.
Oh. Yeah, but they're still kind of getting established. That will be something certainly that's interesting, just because Paige being now the general manager of SmackDown, I suppose I found it interesting that SmackDown's general manager position is the wayward home for talents who aren't allowed to wrestle any longer at too young of an age. Paige being even younger than Daniel Bryan to have this occur to her.
I was genuinely happy to see her get that role. I think it could be a good role for her. I think that she's a good talker. I think she'll have some fun with it. So yeah, I think it was a good move. Certainly a better move than giving the job to Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, agreed. And if you want to kind of keep the women's evolution revolution thing in mind, I know that Stephanie McMahon is one of the commissioners. But I mean, overall, despite the fact that she also had a match at WrestleMania, she hasn't been, I would say she's on TV less than Shane McMahon.
Yeah, she is.
Is a general
she's whole. Traveling the world. She's doing her business work and her philanthropic work. Yeah, she definitely, well, I'm fairly certain the beginning of Raw was probably something of a, you know, writing off of her character for some time.
Oh, yeah, and so it would be good to have a woman authority figure. There really, to me, at least off the top of my head, hasn't been one since Vicky Guerrero. And Paige can really play a completely different role if they so choose than Vicky Guerrero, the Vicky Guerrero route.
Yeah, I don't see Paige really doing as much comedy as Vicky Guerrero, or being played the fool as much as they did to Vicky Guerrero. I think they'll make her, she'll play her character pretty straight, you know, be a voice of authority. So no, I think that it was a good move. It was definitely a very, very good move.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess I was just thinking about that in the because you were talking about the Absolution being the two heels. They have certainly, Sonya and Mandy have gotten the training wheels taken off earlier than the Riot Squad trio so far.
Yeah, I could see both, well, because obviously Absolution is no longer a trio, so I could
right.
see both. I could see maybe them both being split up in the draft, or just, well, you wouldn't want to put Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville on SmackDown, so you'd have to explain why Paige isn't giving them special treatment. But maybe we see a slow separation of Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose, because with Mandy Rose's MMA background,
Sonya Deville.
Sonya Deville. I thought that was one. Sorry. it's late. I'm sorry, people. With Sonya Deville's MMA background, you could send her on something of a run to have her be a early singles opponent for Ronda Rousey.
Oh. Right.
So you don't want to give her Rousey too much too soon, because you want to, you know, stagger out the bigger matches for over time. You know, someone like a Sonya Deville, who you can project as being tough and a challenge for Rousey, you can do that.
They've had the similar past, so it's easy to play that angle up in the whole situation.
Right, and obviously they're high on Mandy Rose. She certainly has the look. But I could also see the Riot Squad being separated. It's just not working. I still cannot believe that even though they legitimately do go everywhere together, apparently, if you follow any of them on Instagram and Twitter,
oh.
I still don't buy them as friends.
Well, yeah, they've never stated any reason why they get along. You know, it because it's three very different gimmicks.
Because
I guess if you lean towards the more mean girl slash, I'm trying to think of who was in that movie that bombed for DC, not the Riot Squad, Suicide Squad.
Harley Quinn.
Yeah, Harley Quinn.
That's what Liv Morgan's going for. Along with a little dab of Carmella and a little dab of Alexa Bliss as well. More than a little dab.
And that's kind of the problem. If she went more straight out Harley Quinn on the situation, her and Ruby Riot would make more sense together,
Agreed.
in my opinion. And then it would just leave, what's her name? Oh, crap.
Sarah
Sarah
Logan,
Logan.
but maybe
Just out on
Sarah
her
Logan
own.
has shown no personality at all, so maybe they should be left together for the time being. All right, we just came totally
Oh no. I guess they still have, they haven't given any of them. Like Mandy Rose has gotten the most personality time because she was involved in Mixed Match Challenge. Honestly. And I do think that just Absolution as a whole has gotten slightly more mic time because of Paige.
Yeah,
So
they trust Paige and Mike for that.
it's certainly to me been harder for the Riot Squad to establish something because I mean even Ruby Riot they really played up her near loss or her near win on of the title against Charlotte, but unfortunately, and it's just kind of part of the nature of the beast, it. You know, she was the last challenger before WrestleMania. So she kind of got ignored after Charlotte beat her. Which,
Oh, yeah.
you know, doesn't, you know, that didn't do her any favors. But I can't see how the WWE would play it, you know, the other way either. Like, I don't know. It'd be tough to keep her strong. You know, in that again, because what did we say? There was a month between Fastlane and WrestleMania, or 3 weeks between the events.
Yeah, I think it was four.
Four. So yeah, I mean, to kind of try and keep her in the headlines when your champion and really the kind of the crown jewel of your women's division is taking on. Someone who's unbeaten. You know, you kind of you get pushed to the back a little bit. Plus, I don't know if the Women's Royal Rumble is really a place where you know, I guess I don't think the WWE dislikes the people that they give it to, but they haven't really done anything with those winners either. At least on the men's side. Anything significant. Because Cesaro certainly didn't get anything, even though he's finally been on TV regularly the last year plus with Sheamus.
Yeah, you know, it was a nice thing for Naomi. That's about it. It's not really gonna parlay into anything.
So yeah, I don't think Ruby Riot winning that is gonna kind of help her character at all. But maybe after the shakeup, they can kind of get back to. Having a little more action for all of the ladies in some form or another. Was there anything else? Because I'm trying to think of I know that we talked about AOP a little bit at least and the concern about the mic, but I'm not sure what else to say about that. I'm trying to think if anything else happened on Raw, really, but oh, and I guess to get to the other part of being fine if Jeff Hardy gets shipped away to SmackDown is just the fact that Bray Wyatt taking the place of Brother Nero works just as well for me. Like,
It does work really well. It's something that it's a change that Bray Wyatt really needed. So I'm glad for it. They can do a lot of wacky stuff, you know, going forward if they so choose. Definitely would like to see them win the tag titles at Greatest Royal Rumble and have a good run before. I would say a very good chance that, you know, for eventually losing them to the Authors of Pain. You could do stuff with the Authors of Pain. You could have the Authors of, you know, Authors of Pain might work more than better. Although I don't know, I'm trying to think. You want to do something at the compound? Sheamus and Cesaro having to go to the compound would be would certainly be more funnier. Completely fishes out of water. Hey. Trying to figure out what they've gotten themselves into.
Yeah, there definitely could be some entertainment value in them playing the straight part, going to the Hardy compound.
Yeah, so yeah, there's a lot of great stuff to do with Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt, you know, together and as tag team champions. So I definitely hope we see that.
I mean, again, like, I guess I don't care who the characters are. Matt Hardy seems to have a real grasp on this character, and everything's pretty funny. And just Corey Graves having to be the man who preaches the Bible of the of the Matt Hardy conversion is to me just makes it all the more entertaining. So, you know, there's a lot of area to explore with those two. You know, no need to involve Jeff Hardy. Understand he was a great part of the original part, but if the WWE kind of really wants its own entity, I think that, you know, Matt's creative enough to kind of come up with stuff with them. To keep moving this gimmick forward.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a real blast, and you can tell they're having a good time. And Bray Wyatt's so needed a refresh, and he's gotten it. I mean, not so much in the terms of look, but Bray Wyatt already fit in with the Woken universe, so it's good.
And right.
According to them, what they said was, when Bray Wyatt went into the Lake of Reincarnation, Sister Abigail was deleted, so we will never hear the word Sister Abigail on WBTV again, and that is a wonderful thing.
We both agree that Wyatt needed something new. Like, I think everyone kind of agreed that the Lake of Reincarnation couldn't be better for him. The gimmick had just worn a little bit thin, to say the least. So having something new on his plate is just perfect. I guess, is there anything I'm forgetting then? I guess it was one debut that wasn't NXT that Raw got. One Bobby Lashley.
Bobby Lashley, yeah. Bobby Lashley made his triumphant return on Raw. He looked good as always. Be interested to see how this Bobby Lashley that developed over the course of his time in TNA and with his MMA background and experience and having a winning record in mixed martial arts, the swagger he developed over time. One of the few bright spots of the last 5 years or so of TNA or Impact, for no doubt.
Right. Just
that Bobby Lashley in WWE. There should be, as we used the word ceiling earlier, there should be no ceiling for that Bobby Lashley in WWE.
I couldn't have summed it up any better. He really is, he's one of the few parts that I actually believe when people told me that he was still kind of kicking ass with his gimmick. It is kind of funny that some people needed the time away. You know, some people didn't ever recover from it. You know, Matt Bloom, Giant Bernard, a.k.a. A-Train.
Tensai?
Tensai.
Oh, jeez. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Nothing ever really worked for that guy. But
I mean, people coming back from that situation have had varied success, I guess, on the comeback. You know, but I do have a lot of hope for Lashley. I mean, he was one of the things that wasn't completely groan worthy when and if I did watch TNA/Impact Wrestling, even when Matt Hardy had left. and he definitely has the physicality and everything to play a certain role in the WWE that very few have.
Yeah, he definitely does. He's a guy who should be in the mix in a hurry if Brock Lesnar is sticking around for any length of time. That's a must-happen match. It would really work as a top match at SummerSlam, whether Brock is still the champion or not. He's definitely a guy who became very versatile over the years. His promo certainly improved as opposed to the kind of nerdy voice guy. That voice that came out when he was getting the big push, a decade ago, the voice that came out of that very large body just did not certainly match. So, but he certainly worked on that.
Yeah.
Just one of those guys he's always been one of those guys that could look impressive just standing there, but now he looks even more impressive when he's actually doing stuff.
And I always felt like he seemed a little stiff within his wrestling previously. And for whatever reason, the MMA experience has brought a little more fluidity to his professional wrestling game, in my opinion. Even though he's, doing pretty much the same stuff that he was doing previously. Like, I mean, his offense isn't that varied from what he used to do. But the smoothness and crispness of it to me seems to be quite a bit higher. Which is a good thing. Okay, now I'm completely blank on ideas after Bobby Lashley.
All right, let's.
Was there anything else that on the top of your brain that?
No. I think we can move on to Stunt Granny Brewing. The Bell Time beer of the night.
It is Wolf's Ridge Pie, which is a bourbon barrel version. It is their Imperial Pumpkin Porter, or Pumpkin Ale. It's 9.5% alcohol. It's fairly tasty. I do like the other version a little bit better. Which is the Dave doesn't know, but this is still a quality beverage that should be enjoyed by one. And this one's been sitting around for a little bit, so special occasion, first show after WrestleMania. Sure, what the hell? It seems like a special enough occasion for me. So Bell Time Beer of the Night at Defrang11 at Chris Calamita. Brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you may listen to us. With that, have a good night.
Later.